seems to be a theme for this week's podcast. I'm not sure what it is.
Something to do with bads and boys, I guess.
I think it's boys who are bad. Like, I don't know.
Welcome to the NFL Final Play podcast. This week, pretty straightforward. AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. And little bits of news. Then we'll probably touch on, I guess, our predictions for the awards.
We got to get our names out there, so you know nobody else can steal them.
That's exactly right. But firstly, we'll touch on the games. The AFC game was the first game. The Tennessee Titans going down to the Chiefs, 24-35. So the Chiefs making the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. Super Bowl IV was their first.
Since 1970. Man.
It was like another one of what, like sort of we were saying last week. It was like a tale of two quarters in a way. I mean, you know, KC sort of got them in that fourth quarter. But, man, Tennessee were off to a hot start.
But also a tale of two halves as well.
Yeah, probably two halves.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. But like you said, you know, you could split it. You could split it right up. There was a couple of key misses, like, you know, fairly early as well for Kansas City. Like, you know, Breland missed an absolute sitter of an interception with about 8 minutes to go in that first quarter, and it just came straight to him. He was filthy when he dropped it. And then not that long after that, you know, Tennessee goes for it on a fourth and two. And then they end up getting into the red zone, take a direct snap to Derrick Henry, and in goes Derrick Henry.
It was a pretty
crazy sort of first quarter, you know, especially for Tennessee to sort of be going for it on a fourth and two and convert it in the first quarter on what I think it was their second or third drive of the game. And you're just like, righto, you know, they sort of, the Kansas City looked a little, you know, looked a little flat to start.
I think so. I mean, look, it looked like Tennessee Titans defense just seemed to, I guess it's pretty straightforward. I guess seemed to sort of have their number. Kamalai Correa was just, he seemed to be everywhere in sort of sacks and tackling. He ended up getting six solo tackles and one sack. But, it's like they were at a sort of stop start in that sort of – well, you could even say the first half. Up until, obviously, they got those two touchdowns in that late in the second half. It's funny. With the second half, it just felt it was the other way around. The defense for the Kansas City Chiefs, they worked out Derrick Henry. Well, they just worked out the Tennessee Titans because Derrick Henry just did not have a third and fourth quarter. He was completely shut out.
He has been one of the best running backs in the league in second half rushing yards. Like, that's where he's been doing most of his damage, is in the second half. He had 62 yards in the first half, which isn't bad. Like, that's a good total. You could essentially say you double that. That's 124 yards for the game. That's a damn good day. Damn good game. You know, that's a mediocre game for Derrick Henry, for the form that he's been in. But he only ended up with 69 total rushing yards. That was it.
Yep. So seven yards in that last one. Yep. Yeah. I guess they just sort of stuffed him out, and I guess unfortunately for the Tennessee Titans, they had to rely on Ryan Tannehill's arm,
he was passing well in the first half. It's not so much it's Tannehill. It's the inconsistency of the receivers as well. You know, the young fella AJ Brown, who's a rookie probably, there.
Yeah,
like that's probably where it falls down a little bit. That's the thing. Tennessee were controlling the clock and keeping Mahomes off the field in that first quarter and a half, and they were controlling the clock beautifully. And then it came back again. You know, Kansas City responds back. You know, I can't remember how many plays it was. It was 2 minutes and 36 seconds for that second touchdown to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Isn't he fast? My God, he's quick.
Well, that's what I mean. They got him and Mecole Hardman, who's just as fast, if not faster, than Tyreek Hill. I'd love to see them over 100 dash, 100, 100 you know, 100 meter 100 dash.
100 yards. Yeah, yeah.
100 yards, 100 meters, 100 kilometers, whatever you want to do with them.
I just I'm all in.
I'm all in for a race between Tyreek Hill and Cole Hardman.
Oh, they should just. I don't know why they don't do something. I mean, at the Pro Bowl, they, you know, they do all these other sort of skills things, but why don't they look at, you know, having like these extremely fast players and have a 100 yard dash? I'm sure everybody would love to see it.
Yeah,
it was
like
a halftime thing or something. In that, I guess in that second half, one sort of, I guess Tennessee, like you said, for Tannehill, he didn't really have decent receivers to throw it with, but I just think his O-line sort of let him down. He,
They let him and Derrick Henry down.
Well, that's right. I just think, yeah, they Kansas City defense. Well, that, yeah, it's probably more that the Tennessee Titans O-line just seemed to collapse, and then Kansas City were, you know, getting through them very, very quickly. And I'm talking about Frank Clark here as the first one.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Frank Clark was a monster. He was here. He was first contact, and he's breaking the line. You're just like, uh-oh, he's coming after him again.
Yeah. And even, I think, Terrell Suggs even was sort of like, you know.
Terrell Suggs was playing disrupting. Up in the line a lot. He was playing up in the line a lot.
Yeah. But, yeah, they shut him down. And towards, I guess, at the end, to me, that turning point was that brilliant Patrick Mahomes 27-yard run touchdown.
That was insane.
Turning point of the game. That was ridiculous.
Did you see I can't remember who the defender was, the number 37 that comes across on the other side of the field and tries to put a shoulder charge on him and totally misses him.
Yeah.
He was about two or three yards out and he just falls in front of him. It's like, what are you doing?
He had two players on him and he still got in there. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Nine plays, 86 yards in a minute 46. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. I guess in that game, this is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, yeah, he led the team in rushing yards, 23 of 35 and 294 yards with a pass for 120. Is he the best NFL quarterback going at the moment? I mean, is it pretty obvious that he is the best NFL quarterback going at the moment?
I think so, because he's proven now. This is the second year that he's, you know, obviously the numbers aren't as eyeball popping as what they were last year, but he only missed two games.
He was injured,
like he had those two games out, and whatever it was, the half a game that he was out when Matt Moore come in for him when he had that dislocated kneecap. But he only missed two full games. He still played 14 games this year. That's what I mean. The numbers weren't as eyeball popping as what they were last year, and you didn't think that he was going to replicate those numbers. But is he even still a sneaky for the MVP? I think everybody's so infatuated with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had an unbelievable season. But, you know, look at what Kansas City are doing now. And, you know, it's a regular season award. I get it. But they're just getting the job done.
It's in regular season, like you said, so I think it has to go. Well, we'll talk about what we sort of think later, but he's coming up to contract season too, and that's what I'll touch on.
He's going to get a massive extension.
Well, that's what I'll sort of touch on. I'll touch on it sort of now. So his contract's coming up. Is the way he's playing and the way he's proving himself,
he's going to get 200.
The quarterback market's going to be in a stratosphere with him. He will probably get $40 million annually for 5 years. He'll have to get $200 million. When Russell Wilson gets
200, it's not. I don't even think it's a question, is it? It's just that's what it is.
Well, the last two big ones, the last three: Russell Wilson, 4 years, 140. Jared Goff, my God, 4 years, 134. Carson Wentz, 4 years, 128. So surely he's worth 40. And we don't know what this is going to be guaranteed, but
he's worth more than that.
$40 million. So they'll only sign him to 5 years. So he's a $200 million guy. He has to be. It's his numbers are just insane. They're insane.
It's out of control.
I guess the thing is just with his contract. If I was a player if I was a team like a Dallas Cowboys or a Houston Texans, when Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson's contracts are up in the air, wouldn't you want to try to sign them now before Mahomes' contract comes out? Because then that's going to reset that market big time.
That's right. And that's going to end up costing both those teams more.
Exactly. So if I was them, I mean, obviously, if Dak and Deshaun, if Mahomes gets signed first, they're laughing.
They're in the money. Who do you think will get a bigger contract, Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott?
That I don't know, because no, Deshaun plays
just to spring that on you out of the blue.
Okay, well, I think long term Dak is worth it, and so is to see. Then on the flip side, so is Deshaun. Look, Deshaun is because
Deshaun's worth it. But they have to keep him protected. At least Dak Prescott is being protected up front, moderately. Probably not as well as what he has the first year he was in the league when he took over from Tony Romo. Like that offensive line kept that jersey of his clean a lot. Like, and they've regressed a little bit over the last couple of seasons that Dak's been the full on starting quarterback there. But Deshaun Watson, you switch offensive lines, or even if you just switch players, you put Dak on the Houston Texans, and what sort of hits is Dak taking? And
then Deshaun Watson on
the Dallas Cowboys.
I agree.
Keeping Deshaun Watson upright is the key.
But so with Mahomes, then it'll be a trickle down effect, because then you've got, so in addition to those two. There's just a small list of, or not really, I'm sarcastic here. There's seven other quarterbacks going to be on the free agency
market. Ryan Tannehill's one of them.
Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Drew Brees, which won't ever move, but Phillip Rivers and Teddy Bridgewater are all free agents. So,
well, a little bit of info that sort of came out yesterday, I do believe, that Phillip Rivers has moved out of San Diego.
Yeah.
And he's moved to the lovely state of Florida. Now, what do people generally do when they go to Florida?
Well, they move there because it's the tax-free area. That's one good
reason.
No, that's true.
Okay, I'll give you that. But generally, when people are ready to do what, they move to Florida.
I'm assuming settle down and start retirement plans.
Yeah. You were saying it right there. Retirement. So retirement. Is that him done? Is that him going, I want to be the starting quarterback at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Or technically, or even the depending on where they draft, or even the Miami Dolphins.
Nah, they're riding with Fitzmagic.
No, they're not.
They're riding with Fitzmagic.
They are not riding with Fitzmagic.
Oh yeah.
They are drafting a top five quarterback. That's what they're doing.
Ride or die with Fitzmagic.
They are not riding and dying.
They are riding together, dying together.
Just because you watch Bad Boys and this is Miami, that all doesn't play in this situation.
It's perfect.
It is perfect, but that's never going to happen. They'll get a top five quarterback, but it is interesting. I mean, you can't, Tampa Bay, yes, you've got, I mean, you couldn't possibly go to Jacksonville because they've got a three-year, $84 million contract in Nick, yeah, nah. So, interesting. But, yeah, this is back to Patrick Mahomes, unbelievable. Got them there for the first time in 50 years. That Arrowhead Stadium is absolutely chaotically loud.
Oh, it's crazy. It was cold.
Yeah, so very cold.
It's just got that Midwest feel about it. Love their football. It's cold. It was crazy. You see Ryan Tannehill on the bench with those gigantic George Costanza Gore-Tex jackets on. And he didn't want to get his hands, didn't want to get
you
his hands cold.
Wish you had that jacket.
I do. But he's going through the plays on their perfectly placed Microsoft Surface tablets, and he's swiping through the plays with his nose.
Yes, he was. That was actually hilarious.
That was excellent.
It must have been so cold he couldn't take those gloves off. That was awesome.
He didn't want to take
his
hands out, so I'd say, yeah, I'll just use my beak.
that was pretty good, actually. I did like
that was crazy.
On the flip side, well, not the flip side, the other NFC, the only championship game was the NFC championship game. The San Francisco 49ers, I think both our choice still, beating the Green Bay Packers 37-20. Pretty much looked like they romped it in the first half.
They just stomped the hell out of Green Bay in the first half and just completely stomped them out of the game.
The defense was absolutely ridiculous again.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was running for his life.
Yeah, he got sacked 3 times, but it's not even that he got sacked. He just kept running away because
they flushed him out of the pocket. Number 97's chasing him. It's just, I wouldn't want that. Would you want Nick Bosa chasing him? Good God.
Oh, my God. Just even that.
But he was fairly efficient, though. Like, Aaron Rodgers was efficient with the ball. He was 30 for 39.
Yeah, he was.
But the two interceptions that he threw were very untimely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Those sorts of games, and you're trying to mount a comeback. But that first half interception, like right near the end of the second quarter, when they're trying to just get something, and they put together a decent sort of drive, and then he throws that interception. And it's like, oh, that's got to be deflating going into halftime. Like, you know, that close to halftime must have been so deflating.
Offensively, you know, this is for Green Bay. They, you know, your Devontae Adams stepped up really well. I thought Aaron Jones was contained. Aaron Jones was definitely contained.
They bottled up Aaron Jones, something chronic. So that was, and that's to be expected with the front seven that San Francisco's got. You would have thought they would have been doing their best to try and bottle up Aaron Jones to sort of, yeah, that's a bit of their pressure relief for Green Bay. But that's to me, like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't horrible, but just in those key moments where they needed him, where he stepped up last week against Seattle, he just didn't quite get there. This week,
not against the Storch defense, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Seattle and San Francisco are light years away when it comes to when it comes defensively.
Offensively, did you ever see Raheem Mostert, gaining 220 yards in that game? Because I didn't see that coming.
Nobody. So he had 160 in the first half.
Yeah.
They were just creating holes for him. He was getting long yardage. It was crazy. He's not in the mold of a Derrick Henry or a Mark Ingram or some of that, a bash him down running back.
He's not. You're right.
The openings that they were getting for him, and he was getting into that secondary so easy.
You're right. Like, he's not that kind of mole. But because we don't get to see a lot of, 49ers games as such, but I forgot how big that guy was. Like, when he was running,
he's still a big dude.
He's a tank. He's ridiculously big. He's still a big dude. He's only 5'10", but he's 205 pounds for a 5'10".
He's sort of in the mold of Mark Ingram, but Mark Ingram's a lot stockier. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got that lower center of gravity. You know, Raheem Mostert's Mostert, however they want to say it over there. They call him Mostert. Yeah, Mostert. Mostert.
Mossy. Whatever.
Good old Raheem. But that's what I mean. It was the ease that they were doing it with. And the other thing was too, like, they had a total of 285 rushing yards as a team. San Francisco. For Tevin Coleman, who was essentially their number one running back for most of the season, who they brought in there, who was familiar with Kyle Shanahan, he only had 6 carries for 21 yards, and it's come out now that he just that I think we knew that it happened when it happened, but he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuffed it then. And Matt Breida only had one run that whole game. Who was their third string running back, who they'd been using a lot as well. When Tevin Coleman was out this year for a little while, that was their two headed monster then was Mostert and Matt Breida. Matt Breida had one carry.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
That was even after Tevin Coleman got hurt.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah, it was the Raheem Mostert show.
Well, although he was consistent, he only threw 77 yards, but it was 6-8, so you can't say.
Oh, yeah, 6-8. What sort of stats are these that quarterbacks are putting up at this postseason?
Doesn't matter. I suppose it doesn't matter, does it?
I mean, the two games by Tannehill, and now this 6-8 for 77 yards by Jimmy G.
I suppose it doesn't make a difference, does it?
No, that's right. When you got to run, when you can't stop the run, that's just what you do. And yeah. Green Bay just couldn't stop the run. So why revert to anything else?
Yeah. No. Well, if it's working, that's exactly right. I mean, I don't see it. That's what I thought. I guess I thought Titans were going to do, but Chiefs must have worked them out because, you know, the run game obviously works, especially with Derrick Henry, but that didn't work this week. You know, they had a Cinderella run, but yeah.
By the end of the game, Green Bay ended up having more time in possession by three minutes.
Yeah.
So that's crazy to think that the amount of times that San Francisco were running the ball, generally, you know, that burns a lot of clock when you're running the ball because the clock doesn't stop. But for them to still have for Green Bay to have 3 minutes more time in possession. That's crazy. I mean, it just means that the running game was too dominant, and they're making big plays all the time. They just kept putting points on the board.
So I think it's pretty. It looked like it was going this way anyway. But basically, so the Super Bowl would be the best offensive team against the best defensive team. So in the Kansas City Chiefs versus the 49ers. I'm still on the 49ers. I think it's. I could honestly see the Kansas City Chiefs sort of blowing them away, but I just think that 49ers defense is just it's unbelievable.
You hope that the moment doesn't get to them, but you know they've got the old head, yeah, especially the old head of Richard Sherman. Okay, he's in the secondary, but you know, he's out there defensively as well. You know, they've got a lot of young guys up front.
Emmanuel Sanders is there.
Emmanuel Sanders is there, but he's not going to be out there on the field with them when they're playing defensively.
No, correct.
But
actually,
Richard Sherman, you'd think, should be a nice sort of, not so much calming influence, but, you know, be able to settle everybody down if the moment is looking like it's going to be too big. No, he's not a calm guy at all, but he's hopefully can settle them down and get them, you know, get the everybody else, you know, in sync with each other, and sort of just keep them calm and not let, you know, not let the moment overawe them.
Who's favorite at the moment? Why do I think I feel like I keep reading?
Kansas City's like a 1 point favorite.
Really? You think offensive more than defense. I just think. The way the 49ers played, it's just, I don't know. I think it's too hard to tip against them. For me, that's all I'm going to bet on.
If we want to sort of talk about, you know, not next week's, but, you know, stupid Pro Bowl.
Forget the Pro Bowl.
Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. Give me a break. It's can Kansas City and their defense do what they did to Derrick Henry? Can they do that to San Francisco? Can they do that? Tevin Coleman is probably going to come out and play. Can they do that? Can they do that again to San Francisco? Like it seems unlikely that they'd be able to do that. But Kansas City haven't been horrendously, or you know, haven't been horrendous defensively probably the last month or so of the season, including the playoffs. Like that defensively, they've gotten a lot better. There was teams out there that would just run on Kansas City because they knew they couldn't stop the run, and now it's gotten a lot better. So now the ball's got to go through the air, and that sort of plays into Kansas City a little bit better as well, you know, with guys like Terrell Suggs out there. So it's
yes, but it's, but then I think on the other side, I just think yes, but then I also think. I think the San Francisco team can shut down Patrick Mahomes. I really do. I think.
Well, that's right. They're going to flush him out of the pocket, but they've got to be able to catch him.
And Nick Bosa can't. Nick Bosa's goddamn quick. Nick Bosa's
that's
really
that's
quick.
Neat, but they've got to flush him out of the pocket. But Patrick Mahomes has showed you that he can still make those passes on the run.
Yeah. Those sort of flick sidewheel passes.
Flick sidearm passes. Yeah,
they're 30 or 40 yard passes. How the hell does he do it?
But they have to put. Yeah, they have to put. They have to constantly put Mahomes under pressure. Like he can't be allowed to just stand there in the pocket and throw to whoever the hell he wants.
No, you can't.
Yeah, well, obviously, in that game against Green Bay, like his favorite target was Sammy Watkins. Like, what happened there? We haven't seen a Sammy Watkins, appearance for a while. It's been the Travis Kelce show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Travis Kelce only had 3 receptions.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. I see.
Sammy Watkins, he was great.
Yeah, no, Sammy Watkins, he was really good. Speaking of buddy, isn't that a good sort of? They're not going to play against each other, but the two big tight ends, George Kittle and Travis Kelce.
That's going to be
awesome.
Man,
that's going to be awesome.
Two big dominant tight ends. That is going to be excellent. And George Kittle hasn't really made a big appearance in the playoffs yet.
No, he hasn't.
He's a great blocking tight end. And he's another reason why they get those nice clean lanes for their running backs to run through because George Kittle... Yeah, you know, he likes that bit of contact and is a good blocker. You know, Travis Kelce's no slouch in the blocking department either. But that's probably more of a matchup than the quarterback matchup isn't too terribly intriguing. You know, Jimmy G and Patrick Mahomes. That's your big matchup is your two tight ends.
Oh yeah, and if to me, I mean, it's generally whoever wins the MVP generally goes to a quarterback, but God, if one of those two can pull it out, I'd love to
one
put
of those
a smoky,
goes off.
Well, I'd love to put a smoky bet on them. Oh,
if
they
one
would
of
be.
Those goes off, the person who's going to get it would be George Kittle. I don't think it would be Jimmy G. Like if Mahomes has a big passing game and finds Travis Kelce a lot, they'll still give it to Mahomes.
Yeah, good
but
point.
But if Jimmy G has a big game and he finds George Kittle a lot,
good
it's
point.
More likely, not to say that it will happen, but it's more likely that they would give it to George Kittle.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Yeah, I'm sure George Kittle's paying a ridiculous amount too, but I mean, it generally goes to quarterbacks anyway.
No, exactly. It just is what it is. You know, except for Von Miller sort of recently has been the outlier. Recently anyway. And the other thing I sort of have, just in regards to coaching. You know, this is the second Super Bowl that Andy Reid has been the head coach in. This is the second time that Kyle Shanahan has been in a Super Bowl. He wasn't the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, but he was the offensive coordinator there in a what we shall call one of the greatest chokes of all time and the soul stealing of the Atlanta Falcons.
Also, he's actually there, just thinking, just another little bit of a half-assed sort of research. Speaking of Kyle Shanahan, he'll be the first father-son duo in NFL history to reach the Super Bowl because Mike Shanahan made the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos back in 97-98. Correct.
Let's hope he doesn't poo the bed this time and just keeps and has the soul stolen away from the San Francisco 49ers.
Poor Atlanta Falcons. Oh, poor Atlanta Falcons. They have such a good team.
They were.
Oh, actually.
They had that game in the bag. In the bag.
They did.
Burn the
other little, poor little NFL sort of research. Andy Reid was a quarterback coach of the 97 Packers who lost to Mike Shanahan's Broncos in that year. So
these two coaches are intertwined together to
literally
to be coaching against each other in a Super Bowl. It's very interesting.
Moving on to some news before we touch on our awards sort of race. Larry Fitzgerald's coming back for a 53rd season, it feels like.
I think it's his 51st season.
I think he was there at Super Bowl one, I believe. But anyway,
he was playing for the
back. 70th season. He had a really good season. Just to throw that in there.
Yeah, 75th. I mean, on a pretty awful sort of, well, not awful, but, you know, a pretty, you know, lackluster Arizona Cardinals team. He had 75 catches, 804 yards. The touchdowns weren't there, and he had four TDs. But he was, yeah, he was always going to be ever reliable for Kyler Murray there.
Well, I think I think Kyler Murray played well because he had Larry Fitzgerald there, and probably vice versa.
Larry had a great season
because Kyler Murray, you know, he's probably not going to get picked. But Kyler Murray was had a very good season. Not many people are talking about Kyler Murray, right? But you know, he had a very productive season. You know that not a winning season, but a productive season.
No, I think so. It was fairly productive, but he didn't have the mind-blowing season, I think, that everybody thought he was going to have. Yes, he had some big plays and some of the crazy stuff that a running quarterback and a quarterback of his size can do.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got 3,722 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions for a passer rating of 87.4. So, I mean, not a bad rookie season, but that's a little bit of the Cardinals don't really have a lot of offensive weapons, really.
Well, it's been 2 years in a row now that they haven't really been able to protect the quarterback. Josh Rosen's not really sort of that scrambler type quarterback, whereas Kyler Murray could have a little bit more success there because he is.
Yeah. The other big news I think you sort of touched on before the pod was unfortunately a young player has to retire.
Look, yeah, to watch. I don't know if you watched the video of him announcing his retirement. That was very, very emotional. And we're talking about Luke Kuechly here of the Carolina Panthers. He's only 28.
Yeah.
And watching that video was hard to watch. It was almost a reluctant announcement. He said that I've only played this game one way at 100%. And, you know, essentially, I don't think I can do that anymore. And that was hard to watch to see him, you know, sort of lose it a little bit. You know, I'm sure he wanted to stay as composed as possible, but to announce that sort of stuff at only the age of 28, and with the concussion issues and that he's had previously, you got to feel for him. It's heartbreaking for him.
But then, so he joins, they're calling it the under 30 retirees club. Then Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Luck, and Calvin Johnson, who all retired under 30. But, you know, don't get me wrong. It's heartbreaking. That's 28, 27, or 26, 27, 28. Definitely prime of their careers. You know, especially, Andrew Luck and Rob Gronkowski, like two big name players.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and Luke Kuechly was a revered linebacker.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, people were legit, not scared.
Calvin Johnson,
you know what I mean?
If he was
on the other side of the field, you would definitely be wary that's the guy we're looking for is Luke Kuechly.
But I mean, they're doing it for their long-term health. So there's nothing wrong with doing it, you know.
No, of course.
Not many people, I don't think, really got on Andrew Luck's back about sort of retiring. But a lot of people were still shocked by Rob Gronkowski retiring. But he was held
together with nuts and bolts and duct tape.
I think so.
You could hear his body creaking and cracking and crunching as he ran down the field. Like he had shares in WD-40 by the time he finished playing. Like it was, it was like Frankenstein.
I'm sure he has shares in some alcohol company too. But the partying did play a lot into that retiring as well.
Well, that's it. I don't think it ever come out that he had any liver issues, but he probably should have.
That's what I mean.
It was rough to sort of see him do that and listening to, I sort of quote these guys a lot because I love the show, the Dan Le Batard show. And Dan was talking about it, you know, and he said just two guys that have recently retired. You know, shout out to Dan as well. Give us a shout.
Next you're going to say Stephen A. Smith.
we can talk about him a little bit later. We may as well get everybody on board.
Yeah, why not?
But you know what I mean? Like, you know, for somebody, you know, for two guys in Rob Gronkowski and Luke Kuechly who just absolutely love football. And not to say that other guys don't love football. They all love playing football. But for them to be able to come out and, in the, like you said, in the prime of their career, what sort of pain and discomfort that they must be in to just go, look, I'm fearing for my long-term health that I simply can't play this game anymore and the way that I want to play it anymore.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
It's sad. And the only unfortunate thing about it is that, yes, they'll be lost to the game, but it's just a lineup of people that are going to come in and take the spot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this, it's just an assembly line of players that are going to come into the league and take the spot. And, you know, you'd hope that in a couple of years, these guys won't be lost and forgotten. But you know, the position will obviously be filled quite easily.
Yes, unfortunately, but look, I just commend it.
Right. It's exactly. There must have been such a tough decision for him to make. And,
well, it depends. You know, it also depends on their it's not even their health as well. Like, they're probably also thinking, you know, this is their income. You know, depending on how smart they are and what they did at college and all that. Like, they, you know, if they don't have a career to fall back on, you know, that's the another thing that has to play on the mind as well.
Oh, that's
money,
right. And monetarily, you'd think he would have still done all right. Out of that, and at least set himself and his immediate family up for their future. But you know, when it comes to that, and that's where it's sort of good for football players that they do have to have at least 3 years in college before they can play in the NFL. Because if a lot of them do come back for their fourth year, so they go that, and if they make the NFL, that's great, that's cream on top. But they can leave college with a college degree. And you can always fall back on that. If you're a guy like Luke Kuechly, then you could go into the analytics game. You know, you could be sniffing around Fox or CBS or, you know, or ABC or, you know, or ESPN to try and get into that analyst game where a lot of guys who are that young can get into. You know, they're a nice fresh-faced guy that can come in there and give, you know, immediate insight into the modern game.
Speaking of analysts, I just before we move on to the awards, I heard there's a ESPN putting together a massive, massive analyst offer for Tony Romo, I believe.
Huge offer.
See if I can find it now. There's like because he's a free agent in analyst sort of talk. He's a free agent at the moment, but looks like there's
He's going to get a John Gruden contract.
Looks like he could say yeah. And look, CBS have come out and said we'll match anything that people throw at him. But he could say his salary could balloon to over $10 million a year.
That is a John Gruden contract.
So I'm assuming it's because of he's only 39, so that's obviously great in announcer years.
I love listening to Jim Nance and Tony Romo. It's great. I love the commentary teams that they've got, you know, on those big games, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on NBC. I love Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarlane.
Tony Romo and Jim Nance, the best color commentator out there.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, like they're awesome.
Yeah, I think he's the best because he somehow knows what they're doing before they even
do it.
But
that's what I mean. It's unbelievable.
But yeah, if he gets 10 to 14 million a year, I think he's the best color commentator at the moment, easily.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, it pays to be the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback too, doesn't it?
Well,
Troy Aikman.
So imagine him next to Joe Tessitore. That'd be awesome.
Right, exactly. What if he goes to Fox?
Oh my God.
Joe Buck and Tony Romo. What happens to Troy Aikman? Out with the old and in with the new.
Yeah, just a little bit. No, I'd say it's CBS or ESPN. I just put a massive offer out there. So I'd say CBS will sign him up. But, man, $10 million a year, that's better than what – just getting up to nearly better than what he was starting to earn towards the end for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. If he can sign for the Cowboys. And he's beating is what he was.
So I think it'll be the week before the Super Bowl, but the NFL awards that usually
we are
gonna try to get in first and gonna be a very professional and do what they do on inside the NBA and start writing these down to see if we can how we go. we won't start with the obvious. Yeah, I mean I'm gonna write down our picks. I don't think we'll start with the obvious, but we can start with the obvious. MVP of the year. And mind you, we'll say before we start with all this, this is for regular season. This has nothing to do with postseason.
It's always that same as the NBA. It's a regular season award. It's got nothing to do with the playoffs. I hate when they start bringing playoff games and playoff records and all that sort of stuff into it. It's not a playoff. It's not a total. It's a regular season award.
So who have you got for MVP then?
For a lot of the year, I did think it was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I did. I bought in,
and it's Lamar Jackson.
It is Lamar Jackson. I just think Russell's team let him down towards the end there. Yes, they made the playoffs.
I even think Patrick Mahomes overtook Russell Wilson in the end.
You reckon? Yeah. I don't know.
Played 14 games.
Yeah, I think it was the way Lamar Jackson, 14-2, I think they ended up being the Baltimore Ravens.
Ridiculous.
If talking about most improved, if we had a most improved like the NBA, goddamn, his stats would be unbelievable.
For that too. I think the passing numbers weren't quite there. He had over 3,100 passing yards, which was middle of the pack. Like that's not huge. The 36 touchdowns, that's good. The six interceptions, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
He's not a high volume passer, so you would hope that the interceptions will be down. Like he's not going to be a Jameis Winston and throw 30 of them. The 66% completion, that's pretty par for the course now. That's probably on the high end of NFL quarterbacks now. It's a high completion league. A lot of checkdowns and shorter passes and stuff like that. But the 7 rushing touchdowns and the 1,200 rushing yards.
1,200 rushing yards. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it was nearly the leading rusher in the league as a quarterback.
My God, that is absolutely insane. you just don't hear that. Not from a quarterback anyway.
The problem is with the amount of hits that he's taken, and we've probably mentioned this earlier in the year. How long is that sustainable?
Yeah, that's right.
Have a look at Cam Newton.
Yep. Yeah.
He has got a much bigger body designed and built to take those hits. And Lamar Jackson just simply doesn't have that.
No, he doesn't. But is his game okay? I agree with you. But is his game would his game lack more if he doesn't run? Like is he an MVP candidate if he doesn't run?
Of course not.
That's exactly right. So he's sort of,
he's got to be able to grow and develop as a player as well.
He has to. I get that, but he doesn't play the way they don't get 14-2 without him rushing. I know he can't keep sustaining that. I completely agree.
He outrushed Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram was your number one running back.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that.
So essentially, Mark Ingram left the Saints because he wasn't getting the touches and the numbers behind Alvin Kamara. So he wanted to be the number one guy. He goes to Baltimore, and he's still not the number one guy.
No, that's true. who'd you have down for offensive player of the year?
Mark.
Yeah, well, no. Well, that's, speaking of that, who have you got for offensive player of the year?
For me, it's painfully obvious that the offensive player of the year is Michael Thomas.
Yeah, no, that's who I have too. He just signed a 5-year, $100 million contract too.
Oh, yeah, he got paid.
He got paid, but he finished the season 1,725 yards for a wide receiver, which is
129 catches, which is just
nine
touchdowns, which is probably a little bit low.
Yeah.
But the thing is with him as well, like every year that he's been in the league since 2016,
mm-hmm.
he's had increase his numbers have increased. Receptions and yards. Every single year, those numbers have increased. So what the hell's going to happen next year?
I don't know.
What the hell's going to happen next year?
I don't know.
Have you still got Drew Brees throwing in the ball?
Yeah. Well, I want to touch on it now. I know you're not going to like it. So what's going to happen? What is going to happen with the New Orleans Saints? They did the same thing this year. They kept this. They didn't really move a lot of pieces around this year. What did they need to do? I know all the stuff that happened, and they should have been a Super Bowl. I know, don't get me wrong, but do they need to do anything else to make the Super Bowl?
Do they need to change anything? We've said it a couple of times this year. They need help. They need help at wide receiver.
Correct.
Michael Thomas cannot be number one option and your number two option and your number three option, your long option is Ted Ginn. And your tight end option is either Jared Cook, or Taysom Hill's the Swiss Army knife, but they need multiple threats.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas is clearly shown that he is one of the most unstoppable receivers that there is in the game right now.
Correct.
But you still need that other threat to be able to spread everybody out. That they lacked their offensive line, in that playoff game just got mauled. They had injuries at the offensive line. They had the young center who was a rookie, Eric McCoy.
Yeah.
They lost Max Unger last year to retirement. They had injuries across the board defensively. It was just an accumulation of things, I think, the Saints. So they get healthy. They traded away a few draft picks over the last few years as well, so drafting probably isn't going to help them. But they definitely need to go out and target a big wide receiver. They tried the Dez Bryant thing a couple of years ago, ruptured an Achilles. They had a sniff around Antonio Brown, was probably never going to happen anyway. So that's what they're looking at. They're looking at and they need another big gun. Doesn't have to be a superstar receiver. But they need somebody else to be able to spread the field.
I think they need to get into the trade market because I think, Alvin Kamara didn't have the greatest season to his standards this year.
Not at all.
But
Latavius Murray isn't. Latavius Murray isn't Mark Ingram.
No,
they tried
not.
To replace him with, they tried to do that. But and that's the thing, and that comes down to offensive line play as well. If you don't have that thumper up front, like Mark Ingram was, then Alvin Kamara is that dual threat. He's not going to be your unbelievable workhorse who's going to get through 20 to 25 rushes a game. Like that's not him.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is one of them. I can't be Alvin Kamara, but is Latavius Murray a little trade piece out there to get and get a wide receiver? Possibly not. I just think possibly not.
They can't lose Latavius Murray unless they've got somebody who they can replace him with a high volume rush guy, a la Mark Ingram.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we
talked about him earlier. Green Bay is their title window shrinking? New Orleans title window shrinking?
Yeah.
I think so.
Their
current situations.
I mean, they're not going to not sign Drew Brees. I think that's pretty evident that they're going to keep Drew Brees. But
just sign a 1-year contract. He won't hurt the team. Won't hurt the team financially. So that's not what Drew Brees is about. That he won't hurt them with a large contract. So that's only going to help the organization find the pieces that they need.
The way they were playing, I guess they didn't play well enough for him to get Offensive Player of the Year. But Christian McCaffrey had a really good run for there.
He was a super close second.
Up until Carolina. I think Carolina let him down there. That was, if they made the playoffs or the wild card, maybe.
Oh, no, not even so much that. I was umming and ahhing between Michael Thomas and Christian McCaffrey.
No, I just think Michael Thomas definitely did enough. The defensive player of the year.
I've gone a little out of the bag a little bit.
Okay.
And I've gone Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
I thought even in Miami, and when he was in Miami, they were using him as a bit of a jack of all trades, and putting him in a lot of different situations, even playing him at linebacker. He didn't really like that, and I think that's sort of, for him, it was a blessing in disguise that he went to Pittsburgh. But as soon as Pittsburgh got him there, he had five interceptions on the season, which is only one less than what the most was all year. I think Stephon Gilmore had six. There was a couple of other guys with six as well. He had five interceptions. He had a pick six that went for 96 yards. He had a couple of fumble recoveries, and he had three fumble recoveries. The numbers that he had put up once he got there, that was crazy. There was a 40-point drop in quarterback rating with him on the field, with him on the receiver being targeted and not.
Yeah.
Look at what Pittsburgh had to deal with all year, all the rubbish that they went through. And for him to come in and he stepped straight into that defense and he made them a hell of a lot better than what they were. So I it was not so much a no-brainer. Like, I think Stephon Gilmore was very close as well. I couldn't really give it to any of the bigger guys, a la Aaron Donald or somebody like that.
No. I have stayed with the same team. I've picked TJ Watt.
TJ Watt. Young kid Bush. He was good this year. Yeah, TJ Watt was great this year.
Don't get me wrong. Minkah did, once he got traded there, he definitely helped that team.
He was an elite secondary guy, whether it's safety or a cornerback.
I just think, his him playing edge defender this year, he was just his.
Once
they lost Roethlisberger, Big Ben, no one thought, and I mean, no, I didn't. I don't know if you did. No one thought they were going to go anywhere.
They were in line to get a super high draft pick.
And Miami
would have been rubbing their hands together after they made that trade, because they would have been like, sweet, there's another high draft pick for us.
That's his third season. So this year he got 14.5 sacks. That's nearly double of the two. That's nearly close to double of the 2 years that he had.
Top five in the league too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and 35 solo tackles. I just think Minkah. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Definitely changed that side defensively. But just watching him, it's like watching J.J. Watt. It was absolutely ridiculous, his brother.
J.J.'s a little bit bigger, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, in third year in, I just think TJ, man, looks, in the mold of one of the best defensive edges, like J.J. Watt. He could be even better. I don't know. He's only 3 years in. So,
that's right.
I was going to pick Stephon Gilmore. I just think they had too good of a season not to. This is Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, they didn't make the playoffs or the wild card.
They were in the mix right up until the last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Offensively than what they do defensively. Like, their offense is a total mess at the moment. Like, it doesn't look like that either quarterback that they've got there, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Devlin Hodges, that they're not the future.
That's exactly right. No, you're exactly right.
Not that they can't show improvement, and these starts that they've had this year is going to help their development. And you'd think the organization, hopefully, that that we're all wrong. And that they can be the future of the club and take over from Roethlisberger because they are young. But yeah, Big Ben was certainly missed in this team. Do you know what I mean? Like they really missed Big Ben. They needed him there. They were hurt offensively as well. You know, with James Conner being out. Juju Smith-Schuster out near the end of the season. So that's what I mean. They've got the pieces there. I think James Conner can get better. Obviously, Juju can get a lot better. They're hoping that he could be a number one receiver of the future. So once Ben comes back from that elbow injury, it's more on the development of Rudolph and Hodges. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're at this stage of their career that they're not. That's not the future.
No, I don't think so. We'll rip through these last ones before we finish up because I think they're straightforward. But offensive rookie, I couldn't go past Josh Jacobs.
Nope,
for the Oakland Raiders. Yep, beautiful.
Nearly 5 yards a carry. Like for a rookie, he missed the last couple of games. But, you know, still put up 1,150 rushing yards, seven TDs. Like that's a pretty good season. And, Oakland overshot expectations by a lot. You know, obviously they didn't make the playoffs and didn't play well at the end of the season. But, right up until week 14 or 15, they were thereabouts.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Technically they were the Oakland Raiders then.
He's easily the guy to build around now, the way he played.
Oh, that's right. Well, we'll see what Derek Carr can sort of do this year. He wasn't awful this year.
It was such a shrewd pick by John Gruden. Like everyone was bagging him for picking Josh Jacobs that high.
Mm-hmm.
He must have known something. So I think we've talked about this guy the whole year. I'm pretty certain you're on the boat with me of defensive rookies, Nick Bosa.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, we've been talking about that guy the whole year.
All year. Yeah, for a defensive lineman like him to have an interception as well. You know what I mean? Like, 9 sacks, which is pretty good for a rookie. That's admirable, but it's the him just putting the fear of God in the quarterback once he breaks the line and gets into the pocket and chasing the quarterback around like they're just a big piece of steak, and that'd be kind of frightening for a lot of quarterbacks.
Speaking of brothers, I think he's going to be better than Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa's only
young into this game as well, but Nick looks good. He looks so quick off that line. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Comeback of the player of the year.
I had a couple written down.
I had two written down.
A shout out to Earl Thomas.
Yeah,
I had him. He had a bit of a disgruntled departing from Seattle last year, and when he got hurt and got carted off the field and did a little bit of a flip of the bird to the bench, whether that was to Pete Carroll or whoever, he come back this year and he was terrific. He put up super numbers. Yeah, it was obviously on one of the better defenses of the league. But I ended up going with Darren Waller of the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I agree. His season changed. I mean, it's pretty sort of straightforward. His season changed. I don't know why. I mean, maybe what happened with the Raiders? Was it just that, they were all hyped when that. I don't know what happened. Like they were all hyped when Antonio Brown was there. Then all that stuff happened. Then he went, and then we all stopped talking about him. But But they had two great offensive players in Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's what I mean. And Derek Carr wasn't awful.
I think they probably got
offensively they're fine. It'll be defensive issues that they have in stopping points. John Gruden, what's this, his second, third year now?
second, I think, is it? I'm not
sure. Yeah, you know, oh, yeah, it's on a 10-year contract, so you know they're all going to be relatives. So it's,
yeah, they're all pretty new, really.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, 100 million smackers. You know, that's pretty good. Look, yeah, it was. I didn't watch any Hard Knocks, but from what I heard, you know, some of the stories that come out of Hard Knocks, that he was just saying about, you know, the amount of addictions that he had, you know, and he was just rattling them off. You know, all the drugs and prescription stuff that he was all hooked on. And for him to sort of, you know, be as you know, I guess, clean and to come back the way he was, you know, 90 catches, he had over 1,000 yards. He was one of the better tight ends in the league. Only the 3 touchdowns, but you can't just rate, you know, a player just on touchdowns. You know, it's the production that he gets as well. And he was a monster for them. He was a go-to guy for Derek Carr.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I agree because he was one of my names I had down. I'm not picking Tannehill. My comeback of the year was I'm not picking Tannehill, but Dalvin Cook is my comeback of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. Yep.
That guy in and going off last. This is only going off last year to now. The reason I picked him because last day he played about the same amount of games from 2018 to 2019, but last year he only did 615 yards and got 2 touchdowns. This year he got 1,135 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Well, that's what happens when you're healthy.
Exactly. Well, that's right. No. But they're same amount of games. The first year he wasn't healthy. The first year he only played 4 games, but he played the same amount of games and just doubled the yardage. So
they ran right through him as well, and that's only Minnesota. Yeah, so Minnesota, you know, them getting past the Saints and their offense is crazy. You know, with the you know, Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, like they've got the weapons. Yeah, Dalvin Cook, they've got the weapons there.
Or is Kirk Cousins a weapon? That's the other thing.
No, well, that, oh, notice how I didn't sort of mention Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, of course. Mate, he's on a big contract too, isn't he?
I think this will be the last year of that 4-year. Okay. I think it was totally guaranteed. It was 84 million or whatever it was, or 88. I think it was 84 million 4 years, totally guaranteed.
Well, yeah, okay. I was going to say, like, I'd love to see one of those many quarterbacks to go to have all those weapons to go to Minnesota Vikings.
Jameis Winston in there, be throwing it all over the joint.
Imagine Tom Brady going there. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of vacancies open for Mr. Brady.
Did we finish on the coach of the year? Is that sort of, I mean, it is it's not postseason, so I suppose we, do we want to pick coach of the year? Or is that sort of pretty?
Well, coach. That's, I mean, coach of the year. I had, you know, it was a bit tough to pick. You know, there's coach that, you know, the coaches that sort of exceeded expectations. 2 of them, really. Coaches that sort of got the job done when guys were injured, like Sean Payton, when Drew Brees went down, and Teddy Bridgewater filled that gap in there for 5 games and was great. You know, he's obviously got the, as I said before, the Swiss Army knife in the way that he uses Taysom Hill is extremely creative.
Yeah.
The 2 I'd really sort of tossed up with was Mike Tomlin and Mike Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
So, you know, with what Mike Tomlin had to work with, I think he did a terrific job to even be in the sniff of the playoffs that late into the season. Is a credit to him. You know, the quarterback carousel they had going there, it was taking people, you know, he was ripping people out of games, putting them in, and they're getting hurt, and he's got to put the other guy back in. The amount of adversity that he went through this year deserves a mention, but it's got to be Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yeah, I did like what, yeah, I haven't picked Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he was there for me. I did like what you said when, you know, a team that, you know, exceeded expectations. I couldn't go past Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills exceeded extreme expectations.
one more win and they could have won the division.
They could have won the division. And they would have been, and like at home at Buffalo where it's goddamn freaking cold. It looks like it's cold there every day of the year.
It's just 24/7 cold up there.
So they could, you know, if they were home on that and win that division, they could have easily like got a lot higher and beat the they would have beat the Texans if they were at home. But I just think Sean McDermott, and you know, speaking of like, he didn't have a lot of offensive weapons. That team was, I don't know, like it just felt unbelievable the way I thought they were going to lose it, but the way Buffalo Bills were playing, like it's just full credit to him. I agree. Like, you know, Kyle Shanahan, like, you know, no one was talking about we weren't talking about the 49ers, but they, you know, they had a great
offensive you all know the offensive genius that he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. With Sean McDermott, yeah, it's not so much the adversity, but it's doing well with what you have. Yeah. Josh Allen's not the most accurate of quarterbacks. They haven't got the huge wide receiving core, the big name wide receiving core there.
Running backs are pretty
thin. Singletary looks awesome.
Looks awesome, but they're still building with him.
No, that's right. So that's what I mean. They look like they could be they could be up there and ready to pounce when New England falls off the cliff.
Which is probably going to happen next year.
Which could be coming.
Oh, well, if they don't sign one person, I think that's going to come.
That's right. They also need to be in the market for a number one receiver.
Yes, they do. Jameis Winston. Oh, why not?
Oh, my God. He'd get reeled in real quick with Bill Belichick at the helm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine, say, if he doesn't throw interceptions, just imagine that. Not throw them, but you know what I mean? Like, holy.
Be as reckless as what he is.
Oh, Bill Belichick will line him up.
Well, you'd hope so. You'd think he'd rein him in.
He would rein him in. That'll do it. Now we tipped over the over. I didn't think we'd even make an hour with just the two games, but that'll do it for this NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there. Oh my God, I can't never remember them. Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud. Sorry about that. Just social media, Final Play Podcast. Just Google it. We should be in Google there somewhere, surely, by now.
Oh yeah, well that's popular. Like, we had over 100 listens of our last NFL podcast. Yeah. We are making it, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna keep. I know how it happened, but if you do know how to happen, like just send us a message or something so we can just forward it on to you. And if you're making it happen, to do it for us more.
Right, exactly. even you got Bad Boys for Life on the brain, you can't help it. You got P. Diddy just there queued up, ready to go.
It just started playing randomly. It's hilarious. I had no reason to play it, but I just started playing it anyway.
Technology. Voice activated somehow.
I think next week, I don't know what are we gonna do with the NFL pod next week for everybody. Are we gonna do a preview, or are we just gonna leave it and then wait for the week after for the actual big game?
Well, we did a little bit of our preview now, so we could sort of have a bit of a break from the NFL, and that's what I mean. Nobody really cares about the Pro Bowl. It's just gonna be 4,000 yards of offense and one tackle for the
NBA All-Star game. Yeah. Although seems to be a lot more closely competitive than the NBA.
The NBA All-Star game's a joke at the moment.
It's not like it's like 60 points to 50 or anything like that, like ludicrous that the NBA does. It's pretty competitively close. It's because the defensive players want
to... No, that's right, exactly.
They want to stand out in that game.
Of course they do.
Well, have a good NFL week, everyone. We'll see you in a couple of weeks then, if you only listen to the NFL ones. But listen to the other ones, please, because there's really good ones there.
Oh, yeah, no, there's some terrific ones out there. You should get on it. Shout out to Dan Levitard down there in Miami. Give us a shout, us a holler.
Have a good week, everyone. Peace.
See ya.